Okay, everyone. Today's daf from Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chav Gimel, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah right on top. Aisha shenad Rabbi Nazir vaitashota b'yayin mitameh lemetim, arezo sofeget et ha'arba'im. So remember that we just had two different approaches to this Mishnah. Either the Mishnah is not telling us any Kiddush at all, it's not referring to a case where the husband was made for her neder, and it's simply introducing as a contrast to the seifa of the Mishnah, where even if the Baal was made for la, the question would be, is she going to be loka with Malkus Derabbanan, so with Malkus Martus? The other approach was that actually the Kiddush over here is that the husband was made for la, and that grew for the point of the Mishnah is to teach me that the Baal is only mefer from this point forward. And therefore, the halacha that the Mishnah is teaching us is to teach me that the Baal is megis gaya. So those were the two approaches that we had, and it would depend on the external evidence that we brought in the past couple of days about the Baal megis gaya. How about if, how about if the Baal was made for the nether? And she had no idea that the Baal was made for the nether. So then, because the bottom line is, if he was already made for la, she's not a nazira at all. So we can't possibly be mechayev her, not Malkus D'oraisa, because she isn't a Nazira at all. So even though she intended to be actually over on her Nazirut, she does not get any kind of Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, now Shenken Rabbi Yehuda says, this is Machlokus Rishonim, actually, whether it's correct to say Masha Enken Rabbi Yehuda says, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda is Chelek Tanakama, or that Rabbi Yehuda is actually just explaining the Tanakama, which is how the Rambam understands, apparently, because he's paskins, that she is to spoke Makat Mardot. So, imena sofeget et arba'im. Nonetheless, the whole idea of Makat Mardot is what? Mardot. Mardot means that somebody is morate, that somebody rebels, that somebody wants to do what's wrong. And remember that the idea of being over on a derabbanan is very different than being over on a deraisa. The iser that's involved in being over on the Rabbanan is not on the actual iser per se that the Rabbanan defined. It's on the fact that you wanted to rebel against the Rabbanan, and therefore you were over on the entire mitzvah of the Pesukim in the Torah. Talk about Kekol Asher Yarucha and so on. So therefore, the very intent is the problem. Always, when you're being over on a drabbanan, it's because of that b'shogeg on a drabbanan. The many who hold it, there's no kapara at all necessary, because the heftz of the iser wasn't the problem. The iser was the fact that you wanted to rebel, but if you don't want to rebel, so maybe you don't even need a kapara b'chlal. So when we say tispog makat mardut, it isn't for the actual iser of Shaysa Yayim et Tamal Amesim, but it's for the intent per se to do that. So this is Machlokas, whether Rabbi Yehuda is Chaylek or whether Rabbi Yehuda is being Mazmer. But what we do see from here is a fascinating issue, which is a very profound extension of the Inyanim of Naziris that we've noted up until this time. And that is that it's here in the concept of Neder Nazir, and the Neder Nazir interaction is most powerfully sensed in the Limud of Bar Pada, and the way in which it's possible to actually learn the number of days of the Naziris from the interrelationship of Neder Nazir. Actually counting the number of times it says Nader and the number of times it says Nazir in the Parsha. So what's fascinating is that there's three separate psukim that we have in this sugya, each of which says Vashem Yislachla, which is remarkable. All of them referring to a case where she didn't know that there was no neder. What are the three cases? Either the father was matir the neder of his daughter, or the Baal and the Orus, we're mater together, the nether of a murasa. Or we have the case where a baal is made for nidre ishta. The Torah, for some reason, actually repeats three times, which is rather amazing. In each one of these cases, that if the father or the husband or whatever the case was, had gone ahead and had been made for the neder, it always ends with Hashem Yislachla. So either it's the Hashem Yislachla because of the Isha Heferam, which is the pasuk that our Gemara stresses, which is a bit of a question because it's the third Hashem Yislachla. Because after all, we also had the Hashem Yislachla way at the beginning, Vishama Avia et Nidra, then and Imeni Avia Ota. There it says Vashem Yislachla, Keheni Avia Ota. And in the middle case of the Ima Yoti Ela Isha Nidore Alea. And over there it's talking about where there was a Orus, and it says over there exactly the same thing. Im Biyom Shemoa Isha Yaniota. At the end it says, Hashem Yislachla. And then the third pasuk, which for some reason is the pasuk that our sugi entertains, is the Vishama Isha Vehecher Ishla. This was the pasuk about Aneshas Ish, Im Hafer Yafer Otam, Isha Biyom Shamo, Komotzas Vatel in the Dorev, Lisarnav Shalo Yakum, Isha Haferam, Vashem Yislachla. Quite amazing. Now, the reason the Chora, that this is such an important element of the understanding of the Parsha of Zeh HaDavar, is particularly because of Zeh HaDavar. In other words, what is the relationship between the actual act that the person does and the intent behind the act? Because since the issue of Zeh HaDavar is the creation of an actual state of the Zeros or other states of Yisurim based on Neder that are entirely virtual in the sense that it's the individual's relationship that creates the problem, and the Isser being not the actual Isser that he creates, but rather the fact that he wanted to create the Isser. So what it is that he's going to be over on is not on the eating of something that's a heftz of Isser because he turned it into a neder. It's going to be on the Isser of lo yachel devaro. So in other words, you're eating a piece of meat which is osir to you b'achila, in exactly the same way that the other isur y'achila of the Torah are osir, except that the isur is your words. So in eating that piece of meat, you're eating your words, and you're not allowed to do it. Lo yachel devaro. Now that leads to the question of what, in fact, in general, is the relationship of the person's intentions to the actual heftza of a mitzvah and an avera. And this, of course, is a major sugya. We know that we've spoken about the Rambam in his concept in the Gemara, in the Mishnah and Makkos, where he is, where the main place that he discusses this issue, in which he explains that the intent in the mitzvah is ultimately what may actually define its status as a mitzvah at all vis-a-vis Olam Haba. That was the way that he explained the issue of Ratzakarish Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, L'Fichach Yirbalem Teru Mitzvahs, in that if there's enough Teru Mitzvahs, then it's possible that a person will do a mitzvah during his lifetime that won't be part of his own virtual reality. An astonishing explanation, for which the Rambam brings the beautiful Raya of Reb Chananya ben Tradyan, who wanted to know whether he has a chelik in Olam Haba, even though he obviously was currently involved in Mesiras Nefesh for Olam Haba, and so on. Rabbi Yossi asked him if he ever did any mitzvah. He couldn't come up with anything except for the one thing that he had done in terms of Moz Purim and his Chalafli and so on. So Rambam says, you see, that you cannot look at a mitzvah as giving you Olam Haba. The only thing that it is, unless it's a mitzvah. But what makes it a mitzvah is that it's not Zeh HaDavar, that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur. That's the problem. That means that the Parshas Nedarim and Nezirus skirts this question very closely. At what point does your version of reality become the Torah's reality in terms of Schar V'Einash? Now, we've seen already throughout the sugya, throughout both Masechtas, that we have the idea of Kenidrei Rishoyim and Kenidrei Tzaddikim. We have the question of whether, as we just spoke about, Rabbi Ezra Kafar Baribi, and that he's considered to be a Chayte because of the fact that he was Metzayer Atzmei Min HaYayin. And on the other hand, as the Rambam Paskins, a person who becomes a Nazir for, as Shimon HaTzadik explained, for the particular purposes of being Shomer himself from Chayt and being Mizgabra al Yitzray, that's considered to be a true Avodas Hashem. And in that, as it says, as the Rambam brings, as it says in the Pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I made your children, the Vim and the Zirim. So, I mean, obviously, that's a Madrega. So that idea that very deeply in the actual process itself of determining what is the connection of this virtual reality to reality, we can actually question overall. A person's religious beliefs may have nothing to do with reality, and he's doing these mitzvahs because of his belief system and not because of how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah him, is, as Rashi says in the Mishnah and Chelek in Sanhedrin, Ma lanu vele emunato. The fact that you happen to agree with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that you do things that are completely analogous to what it is that it says in the Torah does not make them what it is that the Torah says. You know what they say of certain sects that are closest things to Judaism that you'll find. You know, so that's very, very deeply true of many of us and what it is that we do. How much is this really coming from a direct response to the Ratzon Hashem, or how much is it this construct that we've made in order to frantically provide ourselves, we would speak about this in Parshas Yisro, to frantically provide ourselves with an identity utilizing the Sinas HaTorah and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon as making everything that we do something that's good and acceptable and provides us with an identity in our own eyes. Fine. But that means that the entire relationship to good and evil, and the way that it is that the individual is dealing with these issues of Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov, which has been our problem since the mix-up at the time of Adam HaRishon between Tov and Ra, in which the Eitz B'toch HaGan becomes a problem of Bechol Levavecha, in which Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov are deeply interwoven, and therefore we have the problem of knowing precisely what it is that we're doing, not only what, but why it is that we're doing. And these questions of the motivation, where over here this woman was motivated to be Moredit, but she wasn't doing anything wrong at all, nonetheless requires the Hashem Yislachla. These are all very much more central issues than we would like to believe. And the reason that they're so central is, of course, because they touch the basis of the Bria of Adam in Gan Eden, and they touch the issue of Tevera and the idea of Tevera and the Havdalah between Tevera, which becomes the main process of Maaseh Bereishis itself. Because of that, the most wonderful place to have the discussion in the Gemara about these things is in the sugya of the Zeros itself. Even though the three psukim of the Hashem Yislachla are in Matot, which is, of course, the parsha of Nidorim and the parsha of the three types of Haforas that the Mishnah talks, the psukim are talking about, the Gemara actually, or Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, actually focuses the entire issue here in terms of Naziris, specifically. The reason that it's focused in the Zeros, as we'll see from the sugya, is because it's obvious that the elements of Tevera and the mixture of Tevera are fundamentally the question in Gan Eden of the relationship to Ish V'Isha. And therefore, the issue of the Zeros and its relationship to Haroya Soita B'Kukula and the general question of the unavoidable mixture of emotions, drives, hormones, and lust and love in the very deepest nature of human sexuality and connection are deeply ingrained in us when it comes bedafka to these sugyas of belief systems and relationships, particularly sexual relationships. Therefore, the whole sugya in our Gemara is going to be discussing the question of the person's motivation and his connected or her connectedness to lust in that motivation, and what part does the element of the hormonal drives, what part does it play in terms of the psychological, psychosexual, and committed drives of a person's choices in terms of schar v'einash and in terms of tevera. So this is one, obviously, one of the most primal elements of the Torah, because it is the basis of Bias HaMashiach. It has to do with the entire story of Lot and the entire story of Dovid HaMelech and Batsheva and the entire story of the Rut and Naomi and Boaz interaction. And all of those are part of the strange admixture, which Rashi just discussed last week in Yisro, that the Bibdibur Echad was the Isser of the Erva and the Mitzvah of Yibum. So that these Mesechtas that we've just had are all really centered on those primal issues. And because the more primal they are, the less direct attention they get, obviously, because we need to talk about, it's like everything, it takes thousands of years to touch on the underlying issues, but the local issues are the things that we feel most profoundly. So therefore, we have a great opening over here to touch on the underlying questions of the Naziris to Zehadavar. So turn around about it. Isha hafiram v'Hashem yislachla. Now, as I mentioned before, Isha hafiram v'Hashem yislachla is the third pasuk that teaches exactly those words. It's the pasuk about a husband who was mefer for his wife. For some reason, we skipped over the father who was mefer for a daughter, where it also says Hashem yislachla. And we skipped over the Nara Murasa, where the father and the husband together were made for, where it also says Hashem Yislach. And the Rosh asks, why in the world are we jumping to the third pasuk and not take the first pasuk as it comes along? And furthermore, why is it that the Gemara, even though it does make a tzrichasa about the psukim that teach the need for kapara where there was no actual iser, it never makes a tzrichasa of why we need three psukim to teach me the dinim of Naziris of Hashem Yislachla? So the Rush suggests that the approach to the sugya should be that since what we're talking about is the person's own psychology in terms of the merida, that's nogea, doing something that isn't usher, but you're thinking is usher, it should go in order of where it is teaching us in the least likely circumstances that you do need kapara, not that you actually had a kapara. So in other words, you might think that in the case of an Eishes Ish, this is the Lashon of the Rush, where Ishto Kegufo, it sounds very far-fetched, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but where it's Ishto Kegufo, so over there, the woman fundamentally knows that her husband is on her side, and he's going to try to protect her from doing any kind of sin. And therefore, you might think that in that case, there is this subliminal awareness, and she has a right to rely on the fact subliminally that her husband is there, which is less true, where you need to have an interaction between two people, such as the Orus and the father, or the actual care of a father for a child, which is not on the level of Ishtoi Kegufai. And therefore, the Gemara wants to bring that even in this case, we also have Hashem Yislachla, and that kapora is necessary if she didn't know for a fact that the husband had been made for love. Okay, and on the other hand, the more that she also has, so that the less she has a right to believe that, the less Hashem Yislachla, you would think. Nonetheless, in all three cases, Hashem Yislachla. On the other hand, we need to know that Hashem will be Soleachla, even in the case where she had very little right to rely on it. So therefore, that's your tzrichasa, says the Rosh. So again, even though this is like very kind of balabatish as far as, you know, well, she was thinking. And then, but the point, of course, is that we're talking about balabatish thinking, aren't we? Because, I mean, the main idea over here of the Hashem Yislachla is a function of a psychology, not of reality in any way. So therefore, it is a virtual world within the broader virtual world of Zehadavar and the Zeros Bichlal, And it's teaching us this amazing thing that we have to take into consideration what the relationship is within that virtual world to what it is that you're thinking. So therefore, let's go back to the Gemara. So what is the Pasuk teaching us when it says Hashem Yisalach La? It's telling us that in the event that the woman didn't know Sheifer LaBala, he lo yada, and therefore HaKatuv Medaber, it's teaching us that nonetheless, he tzricha kapara uslicha. You might think, well, I didn't do anything wrong. In fact, that I wanted to do something wrong. You don't think I need slicha for that. You see that you do. Rabbi Akiva would get to this posik, he would cry and he would say, somebody who didn't do anything wrong, he was eating glatt kosher meat, and he thought that he was going to be eating some besar chazir. And nonetheless, that's essentially what's happening over here. She was eating glatt kosher meat because her husband had said that it's really, she has no neder against this meat. And she thought that she was eating iser. And nonetheless, it says, Hashem yislach lo, to'un kapara uslicha. So imagine the depth of the evil that's involved when your kavana initially is la'alot b'yado b'sar chazir ve'ala b'yado b'sar chazir. It points to the profound implications of the powerful synergy between the person's rotzen to do evil and the question of whether that was actually what happened. Of course he's going to need. We have the same idea when it comes to an ashram toloi. So over there, a person had no idea he was doing anything wrong. He thought that he was going to eat glatt kosher meat. It turns out that there's now a suffix. Maybe he didn't eat glatt kosher meat. There was a suffix about it, and he had no idea. And he has to bring a carbon there just for the fact of, not for the actual Avera, remember, because if we find out that he actually did the Avera, the Ashram Tolu is not Mechaper on the Avera, but rather for the carelessness that might have brought him to the Avera, right? That's the meaning of an Ashram. So it's not really Mechaper to the thing, it's Mechaper to the Ashma, to the guilt. Very different than Korban Chatas, which is Mechaper on the Chet. I hope you guys are absorbing this. You look hopelessly bored, and these are like immensely important nekudas, every last bit of it. I don't know. Maybe I should hire an orchestra of trumpets, and then before each one, I could have, you know what? Maybe Ariel could create like this musical interlude that would introduce every important nekuda, and then we could automatically play it. Anyway.
All right. Trumpets would do a better job, Rebbe.
Who would?
Trumpets.
not an interlude. It would be something that helps create context.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. So here too, if somebody who was mitkaven la'alot b'yado basar tla, he thought he was going to be eating actual lot kosher meat. Turns out that Allah b'yado basar chazir, and it's a suffix, you know, it's not really for sure. It was a suffix, whether it was chelev or whether it was shuman. Of course, we can't really mean besar chazir, I want to point out, because besar chazir is not an iser kares, and therefore does not involve anything about the asham toloi. We've been utilizing the words besar chazir versus besar tleh as a metaphor for things that are disgustingly aser and things that are beautifully mutter, that's all. But obviously, the underlying issue has to do with the specific case where there would have been a chiyuv of actual chorus. That's why it needs to be talking about chelav, as we'll see in a moment. Kikon chaticha, safek shal shuman, safek shal chalav, and hafal pikin. What does the posik say? V'nasa avono. Oh, good Lord. So, what avon? He had no intent to do any avon. And yet, this is the nasa avono that the asham, the korban, provides. So imagine somebody actually wanted to eat besar chazir. So mishnet kavein la'alot b'yado besar chazir, and indeed ala b'yado besar chazir, where there we have a perfect confluence between the evil intent and the actuality in which the virtual world and the real world come together. Can you imagine the incredible impact, synergetic impact on this person from such a thing? You see, Ben Yehuda Omer, well, not quite that. Because remember that there's a big machlokas when we're talking about the din of Hashem Tolei, whether it's just a suffix, whether something was chalev or shuman, or whether there needed to be two pieces of meat in front of him, one of them being chalev and one of them being shuman. So Isi has a different, he says, we need to adjust that a little bit, because in the case that you speak about, where there was some kind of suffix, that's not enough to bring an Hashem Tolei. An Hashem Tolei you can only bring when you have established, namely, Hurzika Isura. You've established that the Isra was present. So when would that be? For instance, where would that be? Where you have two pieces of meat. One is chalev, and one is shuma. And he ate one of them, and he thought it was kosher. And nonetheless, he has to bring a korban asham v'nasav ono. Imagine somebody was mitkaven la'alot biyado b'sar chazir. Again, b'sar chazir doesn't really mean b'sar chazir. But whatever Isser it is, because we're using it now as an overall metaphor to Isser v'heter, mitkaven la'alot biyado b'sar chazir v'yala biyado b'sar chazir. Alachat kama v'kama. And if there's anything to worry about in life, I can tell you this is what to worry about. Al davar zeh yidvu adovim. People that are worried about what life is bringing them, this is what they should be thinking about, and not about earthquakes. So now the question is, why do we need all of these various psukim that seem all to be teaching the same thing? We do. Because let's say we only had the case of the Isha and the Hafara. So, Isha, I would say, well, the reason that you require kaparavis licha and why it has to be Hashem Yislachla is because she actually wanted to do Isser. And she was mitkavenet to that. So Mishum Dikura Mikora Lisura Ichaven. So over there I understand that the individual's willingness and desire for Isser requires kaparavis licha. Mashainke. Somebody who has a chatcha, suffix shel chelev or suffix shel shuman over there, he had no idea, and he was being chaven to do something that was completely mutter. So that's the other side of the coin. If something came your way that wasn't mutter, where you had every reason to think that it was mutter, I would have thought, okay, over there, I was being good, and I thought I was being good. I would have thought, the low boy, kapara v'slicha. And therefore I have the pasuk by the korban asham. How about the other way? If you would have told me only the pasuk of Korban Hashem, I would have said, okay, but that's because he did an Isser in the end. And I understand whether he did it b'kavana, he did it not b'kavana, but the Isser needs to be dealt with. Masha Einkein, somebody, the woman whose husband had already been mefer, Isha, the hefer la ba'ala, where over there was entirely hetera, that maybe such a person would not require any kind of kapara of a sliha. But now, even if I had both of these cases, I might have thought that only in these tarte, in these two cases, is it enough to say that you have a kapara v'slicha, that it's possible to provide you kapara v'slicha. Mashain, why is that? Because if we're not going like Isi ben Yehuda, so then there was no kviyut of Isur here. It was just a suffix. But in the case of Isi ben Yehuda, where over there you actually had two chatichot, a chat shel chelev, a chat shel shuma, maybe over there, ik ba yisura. And in a case of ik ba yisura, lo sagele be kapara v'slicha. Then it's not enough, because over there, your interrelationship to the Isser and the actuality of the Isser are far more problematic than they were in the other two cases. Mashmalam, that even in that case, lo shnan, it's possible to attain kapara v'slicha through the Korban Hashem Tolei. Oh, my Rabbi Bar Bachana, Omar Rabbi Yochna. We see that in general, this question of how it is that a person is relating to the Torah is so fundamental that when the pasuk says ki yisharim darkei Hashem v'tzadikim yelchubam ufoshim yikashiluvam, what does that mean? The same derech, we're talking about the derech Hashem, and someone who is a tzaddik, he will walk along those paths, and they will lead him to good. Masha'inkein, the Rishayim, the Poshim, will walk the same path, do the same thing, and for them it will be a kishalon, it will be a stumbling block. So, for instance, mashal shnei v'nei adam shetzalu et pischeihem. So you've got two guys. They're going together to the Seder of Pesach, and they did a beautiful job. They roasted the Korban Pesach. But the difference was that one of them ate that Korban Pesach with Shem Mitzvah. And one of them ate it to be a salab. So Echad Achalol Hashum Achila Gasa. Now, as Tosis explains, it doesn't mean literally Achila Gasa, because if it were Achila Gasa, it doesn't have a din of Achila at all. Achila Gasa means to just eat it after you've already, you don't really have any desire to eat it, but you're eating it by pushing it. So Zesha Achalol Hashum Mitzvah. And you had in mind that this is what you want to have the connection to the Korban Pesach. And note again the idea, because otherwise, if you don't understand this idea, then this example seems to be egregiously, ridiculously connected to the Pasuk of Yesharim Derkei Hashem. So there's got to be, the point is like this: the individual who wants to eat it l'shum mitzvah, bedafka wants to unite his physical desire for the thing with the mitzvah for the thing. That's the whole point that we're looking at over here in the entire sugya. How connected are your lustful elements with your deep desire in terms of your commitments? So the person who wants to eat the Korban Pesach l'shum mitzvah, and we know that this is already embedded in the halacha of Erev Pesach and what it is that you're allowed to eat Erev Pesach and so on, the one who wants to eat it l'shem mitzvah is very careful to have a desire to eat at that point, so that when he's eating it l'shem mitzvah, he is enjoying it. Masha Enkein, the Rasha, you'd think, well, I understand. So the Rasha is eating it because he's committed to doing the Ratzon Hashem. Adarabba, I don't have any hunger. I'm only eating this because Hashem told me to eat it. Fantastic, right? Wrong. And you see how deeply that relates to the Zeros. That's exactly the point. Don't do me any favors by not drinking wine. Okay, so then if that's the case, the person who's the Rasha will eat the Korban Pesach entirely l'shem shamayim, which is not l'shem mitzvah. Gaharaya, he doesn't have any connection or desire for it. It's an amazing Gemara that people just read through. They don't connect what the words are saying. So the one who ate it, the shum mitzvah, on him it said, tzadikim yelchuba. V'zer she'achalo l'shem achila gasa. On that it says, poshim yikashluva. To which Reish Lakish replied, now this is very important in establishing what we were talking about, that when we said the words, l'shem achila gasa, it does not mean that it wasn't an act of achila. In other words, it's possible for it to be achila gasa, for instance, on Yom Kippur, right? So somebody eats achila gas on Yom Kippur, it's not considered to be achila, it's not over on Yom Kippur. That's a level of achila gas where the person is literally nauseated and forces something down. That's not the derech achila. That's not what we're talking about over here, as we can see, as Tosis points out, from these next words. Amalei Reish Lakish. How can you call someone who did a mitzvah and wanted to do it l'shem mitzvah, how can you call him a rasha? I understand you could say he didn't do the mitzvah in the nicest, most wonderful way. That's true, but he's not a rasha, is he? Nihi deloka avid mitzvah min hamufkar. But he was mekayim the mitzvah Pesach miuka avid. So are you going to call an act of a mitzvah? You're going to call that an act of rishus because it wasn't the best possible mitzvah? That does not make sense to me, says Reish Lakish. I disagree with the case that you're postulating is what's meant by this pasuk. I would say the correct metaphor is like this. Mashal l'shnei b'nei adam. So you've got two guys, and these two guys both have two women in bed with them. One of them is his wife, and one of them is his sister, in each one of the cases. To one of them, l'zen izdam lo ishto, one of them ends up making out with his wife, and the other one ends up making up with his sister. Which is, I mean, he thought it was his wife. So that's the point. A person who is aligned with the Ratzon Hashem, it's a completely different meaning, says Reish Lakish. A person who is aligned with the Ratzon Hashem, it is tzadikim yelchuba. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that the woman that he ends up sleeping with is his wife. Masha Enkena, Poshea actually always wants to have something that is more kinky. And therefore, Poshim Yikashlupa, so that he's not protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's led in the direction of his own lust, whether he acknowledges it or not. It was not a coincidence that he happened to end up making out with his sister. Wait a minute. How? That can't be what the Pasuk means. We were talking about one derech, not one situation, one derech. You say, Yisharim darkei Hashem, tzadikim yachubam, rishaim yikashlubam. But in Reish Lakish's case, there's two completely different issues that happened. I mean, the fact is that in one case, you had someone sleeping with his wife and doing a mitzvah. In the other case, you had somebody sleeping with his sister and doing an avera. So I don't understand. That's not the same derech. You're certainly not going to call going to bed darkei Hashem. That isn't the issue at all, right? That's not a very good metaphor. Okay. We can adjust that to accommodate that as well. Here's the beautiful flip over where the Gemara manages to figure out how we already got to Malchus Beis David, as we'll see, and how it is that we already deal with the strange interrelationship of sexuality. Yes, good, not good, with lust, without lust, what's your intent, and so on. So we start with Lot. Okay, so Marsha Lelot Ushtei Benot Avimo. So the girls, so here both people are doing the same thing. Male and female are doing the same thing. The girls are committed L'Shem Mitzvah. As they said, there's nobody left in the world, and we have to do an act of Yibum to be able to maintain my separations. So they were Miskavel L'Shem Mitzvah, and about them it says Tzadikim Yachubam. And here's the same act where Lot basically was committed to some type of sexual excitement, as we'll see. So for him, even though the act itself ended up being the kiyum of Malchus Beis David, and in the end it really was Baina the Olam, literally, but for Lot, it became a Pesha. Well, how do you know that? I understand it. What gives you the right to say such things about Lot? Maybe he was also the Shem Mitzvah Michavin. I don't get it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we know that Lot was a sex maniac. Because it says, take a look at the pasuk. Kol pasuk hazeh al shem avera ne'emar. The entire pasuk is full of these sexual innuendos, and that can't be a coincidence. So what do we have? Vayisa Lot et einav, vayaret ko kikar hayarden, kichula mashkeh. Well, what do you think that really means? So it sounds innocuous to you, maybe, but once you speak Lashon HaKodesh and you see the interrelationship of all of those words across the Torah, you know that you're talking about a lot of nasty innuendos. But Yisalot, does that not sound to you the same as the woman who was after Yosef? But Yisa Eshet Adonavet Eneha? So Nisiat Ayin automatically is lustful. Et Einav, that relates to the lustfulness of Shimshon. Yishara Be'enai, which we find Akbar on Shimshon for. Vayar, what does that remind you of? Vayar otashchem ben chamor, rape, et kol kikar hayarden. Well, that's exactly the way that Shlomo HaMelech sees the relationship to wanton sex. Ki ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem. So now the kikar hayarden becomes one big, massive red light district to him. Ki chulo mashke. So what do you think mashke means? Just that innocent gin and tonic that Dr. Barry is drinking. Oh, no. We're talking about heavy-duty mashke. V'haraya, it says, Elecha acharei ma'avai, notnei lachmi u'meimai, tzamri u'fishti shamni v'shikuyai. So over here, Klal Yisrael has been compared to the Zayna, is saying, I'm going to go after my lovers, meaning all of the Avodah Zorah. The umays that promised me things. Anyway, but the idea over here, the lovers, is the Pashto meaning in the Pasuk, and the metaphor may be to a lot of other things. But nonetheless, we're talking about the lovers who provide my drinks. And in that context, it's clearly, again, talking about Lot's overall lustful way of looking at things. Now, wait a minute. What are we talking about over here? Poor Lote. What did he do? I mean, they got him drunk, and he never even know what was going on. So why are you blaming Lote? Von Main is honest. Tanem Yishum Rav Yosi Bar Avichoni. Lama Nakud Alvav Ufkuma Shala Bechira. Remember that when we have a Nikuda, it means that we are meant to be able to read the word with or without. So what it's Gufa coming to tell me is it's true, Lomar. He didn't know Shbishchiva lo yada. He didn't know what was happening when she lied down with him. But when she got up, he did know. So what? I mean, but it's over, you know. What are you supposed to do now? I mean, you can't go back in time, can you? Maida have a havoc. Whatever took place, took place. And what do you think the nafkamina would be for the next night? Yeah, obviously, if he knew what girl number one did, so then he should have known that this girl number two did. Elamai, he said, that was actually fun, you know. So, okay, so if that's the case, so then we have a desire on his part. So we consider what they did to be a mitzvah and what he did to be the Aveira. And that's Tzadikim Yelchubam and Poshim Yikashlubam, even though it's exactly the same action. And the two of them are doing it together. So Nafkamina, Delapani Achrina, Loibay, Lamishtechamra. Shouldn't have gotten drunk. Dorash Rav. You know, there's a beautiful pasuk that actually teaches us about the impact of Lot's way of looking at things and doing things. What does it mean when it says, Ach nifsha mikiryat oz, umidyanim kivriach armon? What does it mean when and we have in Mishle, and when you have an ach nifsha, you have one brother that is rebelling against another brother. What he does in that case is he basically loses out. He loses out of Kiryat Oz. That brother is a Kiryat Oz. That brother is a very powerful fortress. And it means at the end, Umidyanim Kivriach Armon, that the fights and the disagreements end up becoming as strong as a Bariach, that's the lock bar that you put across the door of a powerful castle. So what is that referring to? Ach nifsha mikiryat oz. This is Lot, who ended up rebelling, and because of that, losing his connection to Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu is habito atzur chutzavtem, and that's like the biggest power, the gadol be'etanim. So he lost out on that. He could have had that with him the whole time. But what he did was, he caused Midyanim, he caused permanent fighting, kivriach hamon, and locked out people, as if he had gone into this medieval castle and put up this powerful lock, a bar across the gates. What does that mean? Shehitil Midyanim, Kibrichin Vermon. He permanently implanted fights forever, meaning Lo Yavo Amoni Moav Yibekal Hashem. He locked out Amon and Moab because of him from the Kal Hashem. And that's all because of the way that he had started off by fighting against Avram Avinu. It started with the fight between Roye Lot and Roye Avram, and then Avram says, well, why don't you find a nice place? That's when he starts looking at this sexy place, which is the Kulei Mashke. That's how the whole thing started. And the result of it, in the end, came from the Ach Nifsha Mikiryat Oz. So it's this idea that you would rather not have the Kiryat Oz if what you do have is at least your own insanity. So give up on Avram Avinu. Mishugana. So this is what it causes in the end. It causes all generations from him to be separated from Avram Avinu. In the Lo Yavo Amoni Yomo Avi Bekal Hashem. Dorash Rav Avi Temer Avi Yitzchak. May Dechtiv L'Ta'ava Yivakesh Nifrad B'chol Tushiya Yidgala. So somebody wants to be kept separate from his for his purposes of his own seeking, his own lust. But in the end, b'chol tushia, in all places where people really achieve things and understand things, the Torah is called tushia. B'chol tushia means in all elements of the Torah, yidgala. Yidgala with an ayin, says the Malbim, is the same as yidgala with a hey, except that the Yitgala with an ayin is a reference to exposure of bed, whereas Yitgala would be a Megillah. It's not bad. It's just to expose something that was hidden. So what do we mean? The Tava, Yivakesh Nifra, that was Lot, who said, yes, yeah, no, it's a good idea. I'll go down to Sodom, you know. Ubecholtu Shia Yidgala. This means that all over, whether Teresh B'Ksav, Teresh B'Alpeh, Nidgalak Lono B'Batei Knesiot, where they read the story of Lot and they make him look terrible, Ubebatei Midrashot, and everybody is aware of the impact of Amoni Omalavi, that they are Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem. And when it comes to the Lushan in the Beit HaMedrash, it's not just the Pasuk, but rather Amoni Omalavi is the Lushan of the Mishnah. Amoni Omalavi Asurim, B'Yisuram Yisur Olam, and that all is a reflection on Lot. So what have we discovered? So we discovered the profound interaction between the individual's ultimate desire, even one that he may not have been really aware of, and his openness to chet, and the extent at which he is willing to be part of a Kiryat Oz, and the way in which he is committed to having his entire life and body and soul involved in the Ratzon Hashem, with the variations in exactly those questions in terms of actual mitzvahs and averis, and also in terms even of the level of the relationship to Nedarim and to Naziris. Omar Ula, let me show you a beautiful example on this. You have two people who went out of their way to engage in some type of dramatic sexual event that was shocking. So Tamar, she went ahead and she actually gets pregnant from her father-in-law. So, I mean, that's an Isra Erva, right? So she was Zinta. And then there's this other guy, Zimri. Zimri, it's one of the Sarim of Yisrael, of the Shvatim. And he also specifically went out to show that this woman is Muteret. Now, the difference between them is that Tamar, who was Zinta, it was specifically because of the way that she engaged in these sexual relations that she ended up creating Melachim Unevi'im. Well, that's unbelievable, because we know that Peretz was the mocker of the Malchus, and we know that that would mean that Amotz, Yeshayahu ben Amotz, was a brother to Amatzia, as we've seen elsewhere, also comes from Tamar. So that shows that in one act of what is Usher's, amazing, so this is Usher sexually, she ended up building the whole Malchus Yisrael and the Nevi'im and so on. Zimri, who did the same thing, Naflu alav kamer revavot mi Yisrael, because of him, 24,000 people died in the Magefa until we had the Maisa Pinchas that was able to be mitakeh. Now, that's unbelievable. I mean, both of them were violating what appears to be norms and boundaries. And yet, in one case, the violation exactly creates the explosive growth and new developments that a violation of boundaries can bring, that we call stretching the envelope. And in the other case, it brings the complete pirza and destruction of tens of thousands of people. And it's the same exact act. That's what's amazing. Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, well, that teaches you something. Gedola aveira lishma, mitzvah shelo lishma. Look, we've been talking about whether something is considered to really be a mitzvah if there is poshim yikashul ba, but all discussion with Rish Lakish, and as we mentioned in the beginning, the Rambam and Makos and so on. So that means that a mitzvah shelo lishma is pretty down there on the level of importance, chashivas. Masha Enkein, the Avera Lishma, such as was done by Tamar, achieved the most incredible things. Or the Benot Lot, exactly the same way. And these, again, as I pointed out, all going back to the initial confusion of lustful sexuality back in Gan Eden with the meaning even the potential of lustful, which is what we're talking about over here, with the interrelationship that is the loto feyot adam levado, the deepest connection of people that's possible. And here too. So there we're looking at exactly the central point in Gan Eden. And now it turns out that in the course of history, we have exactly the same strange story, that what appears on the surface to be exactly the same can be so entirely different that one is the Binyan Ha'Elam, literally, in terms of Yibum and in terms of Malchus Beis David and in terms of the ultimate Geula, and the other is destructive that requires a Takana over the course of many Dairis. So, or forever, I mean, in the case of Lot. Therefore, it would appear that it's a greater Madrega and bigger schar to do an Avera Lishma than to do a mitzvah without having any real concern for the mitzvah itself. Wait, can you really say that? I mean, remember that Rav Yehuda Merav said that even when you're doing Torah or mitzvah, shelo lishma, you are at least on a path for the natural development of that act to become lishma. Because what he said is that liolam yasok adam b'torah b'mitzvot afilo shelo lishman shemito shelo lishman balishman. So now, look, I mean, I would agree with you that, okay, like, what am I going to get out of this? I mean, it's not really lishma. I mean, I'm doing this because, you know, it's part of my feeling good about being religious or whatever. I mean, so what's the point? No, there is a point, because ultimately that could lead you to really being aimed on what the real nature it is of what you're doing and therefore growing into a lishma. So if you're right, I would agree with what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, if we were only talking about the one local event. You want to say, like, what's more kedai, to be engaged in doing an avera lishma or to be engaged in doing a mitzvah shelo lishma? You're right. The only thing is that you're not taking into consideration that the engagement in the mitzvah shelo lishma never really happens. Because even though currently you're engaged in that mitzvah shelo lishma, but you're already on the path towards a lishma in that mitzvah because it's bali day lishma. And therefore, you can't say that it's better. I mean, why is it better? One is better locally, but the other may is better in an ultimate sense. So therefore, I would say that what we should do is rather change it. Ela'ema kimitzvah shelo lishma. That doing an avera l'shem shamayim has in it those advantages that make it just as chashuv, but not necessarily to say greater than, just as chashuv as a mitzvah that you're doing that you're not doing for a lishma. Dichtiv. So going on to, we were talking about Rav Nachman, about doing an avera lishma, getting back to it. Dichtiv. Tevorach minashim yael, eshet chever hakeni, minashim ba'ohel tevorach. So what does it say about Yael? What did Yael do b'sach hakol? All she did was sex. Insane. She took this Sisra, she completely wore him out, and then killed him. But we're going to give her the bracha of Tevorach, Minashim Yael, Eshet Chever HaKeni, Minashim Bo'ol, Tevorach. Who are Nashim Bo'ol? Nashim Bo'ol are the women that are referred to in the Torah in the context of Ohel. And that is Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. In each of those cases, it specifies Ohel. Remember, when the Malachim asked, Hinei Ba'ohel, and Eva Yetzimi Ohel Rachel, and Ohel Leah, And when Yitzchak comes and falls in love with Rivka, it's Ayala Sara Imai, and so on. So, okay, that those are the ones that are called Nashim Ba'ohel. And what was it that she managed to do? All Avera. Again, on the surface, Sheva Bi'ilot Ba'al Otora Shaba Otasha'a. Sisra slept with her 7 times, he climaxed, in order to make him completely tired out. Because look at the pasuk. Bein ragleha kara nafal shachav. Bein ragleha kara nafal. Basher kara sham nafal shadud. I mean, obviously, when a man falls between the legs of a woman and each one of them is fall at some level, he's not just falling for her, he's going all the way. So that means that we've got 7 separate climaxes that are mentioned over here. Kara nafal shachav. Kara nafal. Kara nafal. Like, okay, so she's been very busy. So that is what we call being more mevorach or as mevorach as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valea. But wait a minute, Rav Nachman, hold on. I thought we said that the fundamental question over here of the interrelationship between the actuality of physical connections, hormonal connections, lustful connections, psychosexual developments, interrelationships of all of those together with your conscious desire and planning in an act are important. So how can we disregard the fact that just as we took a look, when we were talking about the case of Lot's daughter, so we know that in that case, they went out of their way in order to have the ability to collect their father's sperm in a way that would be the least interesting sexually for them, right? It was like Hotzio et Betuleim and so on. But I mean, over here, of course, we have the same question with Esther and with Achashverosh that's coming up in the period of Purim. But I mean, isn't the bottom line that in order to be able to relate to him in this fashion, so she had to have pleasure from what he was doing? I mean, so she's got to be able to actually relate to him. And therefore, doesn't that, by definition, create a break in the continuum of body, psychology, desire, and soul? Because Hakabishanya may be Ila delay. The bottom line is she can't avoid the lustfulness of the pleasure that she gets out of this guy. I mean, this guy's a real he-man, this Sisra. I mean, take a look at how his mother talks about him. I mean, she's so proud of her son's Perez. So she must have had a good time, don't you think? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, no, I don't think. But this introduces a completely different element that is talking about the top-down impact on the nature of the bodily responses, which is itself an amazing nekuda. And that is that kol tovatan shel resha'im eina ela ra'a etzel tzadikim. That which is, if it would be physically beneficial, lustful, and lots of fun, does not mean necessarily that it remains so in the event that we're talking about someone who is the tzaddikim yelchubam. Why is that? Because if the person begins with the love and concern and connection, so then if that's the case, anything that destroys that is disgusting. It's not that, okay, so it didn't give me a spiritual high, but it gave me a nice orgasm. No, that's not true. In terms of such an individual, it's simply disgusting, not a nice fun. And therefore, since according to the vision of Yael and what an actual sexual connection meant to her with all the love that was associated it with it, it's like the way that Esther spoke about Achashverosh. I don't enjoy sleeping with dogs. And it doesn't matter how big the size is. I don't enjoy sleeping with dogs, period. You could talk to me about Sisra and his Peres. It's irrelevant to me. And because of that, we don't even see a tzad of lust involved. It's the exact opposite of how we started. Remember, we started about the achila of the Karban Pesach to someone who is a tzaddik, wants to make certain that the interrelationship with the mitzvah of the achilas Karban Pesach should be with a lustfulness towards the actual food. And that way, there would be this connection between guf and nefesh that would be complete. And in that case, the opposite is also true. In the event that I cannot connect it to anything that is real and full of love, it offers me absolutely nothing. That's the point. And if that's the case, then we understand from this also the idea of Ein Kishui El Aladad. You would think, okay, so here's Lot. I mean, he's basically in a state of inebriation to the point where he doesn't know what's going on. So what are you going to say? That he gets an erection because he wants to get an erection. I mean, whatever, people are fooling around with him, so he gets an erection. But the halacha is that Ein Kishui El Aladad. So that means that you will not get an erection if there's no element of lust that's involved. In which case, she is not getting hana'ah. And therefore, the entire preparation of Lot for what it is that happened is part of the essence of what Lot is. Exactly as we said. And therefore, we don't even need to take into consideration what it is that she got out of it, because she got nothing out of it. Where do we see that? Shenemar, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Lavan, Hishamer lecha midaber mi'akov mitov va'adra. Don't talk to him about anything, not good, not bad. I mean, I understand, not bad, obviously, a Bishlam or a Shapir, but Tov? I mean, you want to do good for Yaakov? Why in the world should HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, don't do him anything? Tov amai lo. Must be because to Lavan, what's Tov, is to Yaakov Ra. Even Tovato is Ra'a. The connection of Teva is disgusting to me. Shema mina. You see, this is the good. And by the way, even though this seems very esoteric, I'm sure that everyone here has that sense. There's people that they'd rather not get anything from because it's too disgusting to get anything from, and you don't want to have anything to do with them. And the same thing would even extend to physical connection. There's no pleasure in, for a Ben Yisrael, there's no pleasure in what people look at as being beautiful and attractive. To them, it's just disgusting. Gufa. Omer of Yudah Merav. Getting back to the relationship of Shelo Lishman Lishman. Olam yasok adam b'torah b'mitzvot afilo shelo lishman, shemitok shelo lishman, we said balishman. Where do we see this amazing idea? To what extent? Astonishingly, in the same sugya as Malchus Beis David. I'm telling you, it's absolutely amazing the way the Gemara gets all of this like interrelated on so many different levels. We learn it from Balak. Balak? Yes. Balak brought 42 different karbonas, because Bilam said that's the way you're going to be able to destroy Klal Yisrael. So here you have these Sheva Mizbechot. He gets 42, in the end, 42 different karbonas that he brings. And that's the reason that he was Zocha to have Rus come from him, and Rus ends up creating the Malchus Beis David. Wow. Because Amar Yosi Rabbi Hanina, Rus was the granddaughter, Bat Benoshel Eglon Melech Moav Aita, and since she was the daughter of the son of Eglon, and that means that doesn't mean literally, I mean one generation, but generations later, and that means because of that, that she was also the ultimate descendant of Balak Melech Moav, because Eglon himself was the descendant of Balak. I mean, boy, that's pretty far-fetched in terms of Shelol Hashem Shamayim. I mean, he's bringing those karbonas to destroy Klal Yisrael. And nonetheless, we're bringing it Shelol Lishma, meaning into Lishma. Wow. Getting back to Lot. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Ava, Amar Reb Yochanan. Minayin she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach afilo sachar sicha na'a. Where do we see? This is Dafke, even in the context of what it is. This is amazing. In the context of what it is that you're doing, which is this cosmic breaking the envelope and doing a dramatically wrong sexual thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka is so makbit to provide the schar of each thing that was done well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not even hold back rewarding you for the way that you spoke. So take a look. The first daughter to sleep with her father, so she gives the name Moav to the child, right? Which, of course, is not very nice because it talks about the idea of the father. In other words, this boy comes from my father. So she didn't say that very nicely. And what's the halacha about the way we treat Moab? So Omer le Moab, Omer le Rachmana, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Al tatzaret Moab, you're not allowed to go against them in any way. Don't start up with them in war. Okay, that means you're not allowed to do war. But Sa'uri Mitzarin, you can certainly drive them crazy. You can scare them. You can despoil them. You just can't fight them. Mashankin, the younger daughter, called her son Ben Ami. So, okay, Ben Ami is a very gentle sense of how deeply connected I am, a son of my nation, but she doesn't say it's her father's son. And because of that, what's the lashon of the way that we're supposed to treat the Amon? Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al titzurein ve'al titgarbam. Don't even start up with them in any way, which means afilo tzuri lo titzarinon klal. You can't do anything to them that will be mitzayin them. You should always jump into doing a mitzvah as quickly as possible, And this, again, we're describing mitzvah in terms of Avera Lishma. Again, why? Because look at the difference. The first daughter was the one who jumped into bed with her father, and she got there one night before her younger sister did, right? But her involvement in Malchus Yisrael started four generations before her younger sister's involvement with Yisrael came about, because she basically, if we include the story in the from Oved to Yishai to David and Shlomo, it's all building the Malchus. So she was already there for those four generations before Rechavam, who was Shlomo HaMelech's son, and he came Dafka from the Naama HaAmonit. So Ammon, which was the Ben Ami, from the boy Ben Ami, took four generations longer for her to become incorporated, her input into Malchus Yisrael, to be incorporated with Rechavam ben Shlomo. That's the difference of one night's additional zrizus in sleeping with her father. Astonishing Gemara brings us back to the deep interrelationships of Naziris and Adorim, to intent and commitment and involvement in something which is sometimes seen as bad and sometimes seen as good. Chayev achatas, or being worth Shimon HaTzadik eating your asham.